The blueberry industry is like no other. Passionate, resilient, and innovative. This podcast is your source for the latest information on the production, markets, research, and technology related to blueberry production. This is the business of blueberries. Here's your host, President of the U.S. Highbush Blueberry Council, Casey Cronquist.
Well, welcome back to another episode of The Business of Blueberries, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to the blueberry industry. If you're listening to this episode around its release date, you know that our attention this week is on the virtual conference and expo. And wow, what a turnout. This has really been an incredible response to a great opportunity to learn more about NABC and USHBC, and most importantly, the inspiring possibilities that are yet to come for our industry. But we still wanted to release an episode for you listeners. In fact, this is actually a continuation of our last episode with Mr. Denny Doyle. We brought Denny onto the show to talk about the history of blueberries, starting clear back to Elizabeth White in New Jersey. If you didn't listen to that episode, it's a great history lesson about the beginnings of this industry. So please go check that out. Today, we're going to pick up where the last episode left off. We're talking about the formation of the USHBC, some of the challenges of growing this industry, and opportunities that still yet lie ahead. And Denny's firsthand experience with sharing his story of growing blueberry demand in Japan. If you listen to the last episode, you may think Denny is a full-time blueberry historian, but he's much more than that, actually. Denny is also a blueberry grower in New Lisbon, New Jersey, the president of the New Jersey Blueberry Industry Advisory Council, chairman of our Good Practices Committee, and one of the regular personalities on this show as part of our Blueberry Crop Report. Speaking of the Crop Report, we don't have one for you this week, because everyone is tuning in to the virtual conference and expo. But as a special treat, here are a few highlights from our event so far. This week's virtual conference and expo is a first for our industry, and in many ways reflective of the innovation and collaboration USHBC and NABC strive to bring to the blueberry industry. It's been incredible to see the level of interest in this virtual event. Typically, we would see 200, 250 people join us for our in-person meetings. This week, we've had just about 1,000 people registered to engage. That is just incredible, really, really incredible. To accomplish all of what our industry needs to realize in terms of a future blue wave, in order to drive expansion of demand, we need a uniting vision. This brings me to today's keynote speaker, Michael Hyatt. Michael is a New York Times bestselling author whose most recent book, The Vision-Driven Leader, really focuses in on what it's going to take for the blueberry industry to experience that next blue wave of growth and success.
I consider myself a blueberry enthusiast, so I have them almost every day. You know, it's one of the three fruits that are allowable under the keto diet. And I'm just delighted to be with you. Anything I can do to help blueberry growers, awesome. Well, I think one of the things I realized early in my career is that vision drives everything. We have to get clear on exactly what we want before strategy makes sense, before we're able to rally the team, before we're able to actually execute on that vision. So vision, I think, is the most foundational, fundamental thing that you can acquire. And one of the reasons why where organizations begin to slow down in their growth is because they don't have alignment. There's a lot of sideways energy. You can imagine if you had a bunch of people in a canoe all paddling towards different destinations, you wouldn't go very fast anywhere. But once people are clear of the destination and everybody's rowing in the same direction, it makes execution that much easier. So again, it all goes back to vision.
You know, in keeping with the format of our organization, Inspiring Possibilities, it's my great pleasure this morning to introduce Produce Marketing Association's VP of Technology, Vani Esty.
So what I want to talk to everyone about is really looking at technology that's available now. You know, so much we talk about technology that's available way in the future, and everyone has to wait a long time, and it's not really adoptable or adaptable for industry to use now. And so what I want to look at now is some technology that's really available for your industry now. I know Oxbow is speaking this afternoon, and I heard about their work in blueberry on the Business of Blueberries podcast, where there's a great conversation about how Oxbow is working with the blueberry industry and really understanding the different types of equipment and how to use it and when to use it and maybe not every time you harvest and maybe not for exports. And I thought it was an amazing conversation of a company really working with producers to understand what the needs are and meet those needs very specifically in kind of smaller pieces of equipment with different ways of changing things in and out.
The demographics of the Costco member align very well with blueberry consumers, a little bit higher end as far as household incomes and ability to do the impulse purchases, even when at times the cost per pound of blueberries can be a little bit higher. In the fresh foods side of the business, we've always been laser focused on one key phrase, the attributes of quality can be defined. Jeff Lyons, the senior VP of Fresh Foods for the past number of years, I want to say about 10 to 15 years, has always kept us laser focused on it. All of my visits always include tasting the different varieties, understanding the challenges and what is being grown around the world, all for the goal of improving the quality that we have in our buildings. Whether we're tasting strawberries in Spain or we're tasting blueberries in Chile in the early 2000s, we have to define the attributes of quality, figure out who's doing it and how we can get it done, and then put all of our energy towards going after those attributes that make the most sense for our business. In my opinion, certainly the need for partnerships is more crucial than ever before. Without a partnership and truly understanding both each other's businesses, it can become transactional way too quick. I would much rather focus on how we improve things and making sure that both businesses are healthy than to focus on price. There are better things to focus on. And certainly from my perspective, the consumer and the member is always gonna get most of my attention. We're gonna always make our decisions around quality. So we wanna be fair, we wanna pay fair pricing. We're gonna keep chasing organic. But if you ever wonder where my mind is, it's all gonna be around how do we improve the Eden experience for our members. I've been really impressed with some of the newer genetics. It's really resonating with the Costco member. They're willing to pay a premium for premium fruit. And some of the genetic programs that are in their infancy stage, I see that as one of the big growth areas and growth tools for Costco moving forward is to keep steering our business towards the better eating genetics, towards better quality of organics. And if we're gonna make decisions, if someone's gonna bring a new program to Costco, it's gotta improve what we currently have. If not, we're gonna stay loyal and stick with the programs we have.
So I want to just thank everyone who's attending and attended our virtual conference, depending on when you listen to this episode. It was so great to connect with everyone virtually in the industry during this time of isolation. It really did provide for the best opportunity we could possibly have in light of circumstances. If you missed out, make sure you are a subscriber to this podcast, as there are going to be many conversations that I'm sure will be continued through this medium. Once again, Denny Doyle back with us here on the show again today. Denny, maybe let's jump into this conversation right at that point where you all made the decision that blueberries needed a research and promotion program.
Yes, the first step was the conversation that now we're on our own, NABC, the high bush industry is growing, and we got to the table where we knew we needed more money. But remember, NABC is voluntary. So growers did not have to put anything in. And that was our first tackle. We knew we could go forward, but we needed money to do this. And that was the foundation of the USHBC. We reached out to the government. The government actually came back and said, you can have a promotion and research committee. And these are the positive sides of it. And here are some of the negative sides. And we discussed those pros and cons, and overwhelmingly, eventually, they came to the point where, yes, we need to develop the USHBC. And that's how that got started.
What was that vision of this organization's intent to go do? Yes, it needed money, but what was the expectation you had as a grower that it was going to do that was going to be different than what NABC could do, that was going to be something that was going to be there for you as a grower? What was your vision for it? What was your hope that it would accomplish?
The overall vision, and I think it still holds true to this day, was to bring awareness of our blueberries to the consumer. That is the primary foundation reason. You know, today we have all these different committees, and that's great, but the overall thought process was we need to sell more blueberries. All right, now how do you do that? And, you know, we were outreaching to some professional people, and they were telling us, well, you need to get into newspapers, you need to get into radio, you need to get into TV, you need to do these type of things in order for our consumer to, one, buy more, and two, to bring in new consumers. So that was the foundation reason. It was in the 90s that all of a sudden there was starting to get an interest on the research side of it. Around 95, I was president of the NABC, and, you know, we traveled. Now, keep in mind, our overall budget, you know, at that time, I think we had about $20,000 left, and it was decided by the board to send me and Tom and Mark to Japan. And what a phenomenal trip. At that time, Japan really thought that blueberries helped on their eyesight, and they were in a craze about it. So we went there. And Casey, I'll tell you the stories when we were over there in Japan. I mean, we only had an itty bitty little booth. Ocean Spray had one. It was like a block long. Okay. And the Wild Industry had one that was two blocks long. The three of us had a table in a little corner. We literally had the police come in because we blocked the traffic. I was standing on a table throwing dried blueberries at these people, and the police came in and said, you've got to stop because you have too many people in here and you're blocking all traffic. Well, the Wild Industry came over. If they had a gun, they'd have shot me on the table. I'm telling you, they'd have shot me because I just went off. I went off in the never man. And these people were cheering. I was like a rock star. And the only group, Ocean Spray executives came over. This was towards the end. And they shook my hand and they just said, that was the most amazing gathering I have ever seen in my life. And it's true. We did. I mean, police were directing people to move on, and especially the women, they were screaming, you don't tell me to move on. And it was just amazing. I went on national television. You know, as you know, Case, I wear reading glasses, and well, they had this eye thing going on, right? So I couldn't wear reading glasses, for crying in a tub. So I had our interpreter make my speech bigger letters. And every time she gave it to me, I said, no, bigger. And it started off with a three page report kind of speech. And I think she gave me like 55 pages because it was like reading, you know, Ted and Sally in first grade. It was just crazy. It was just wild. And so much fun. And that really started launching us. That really did, Case.
That's a cool. Amazing. I'm glad you shared that. Yeah.
Then Dr. Jim Joseph, well, on his research, it was the aha moment at that time. You know, I don't know that we had that research vision. We had the promotion vision, Case. And again, it's what's so great about our industry, because I've always said, if you do nothing at all, that's worse than doing something wrong. So it really started, okay, we got to promote kind of in traditional ways. The computer was out. You know, we didn't email, we didn't text at this point in time, or very little. And we were doing a lot of the traditional things, some of the new things, and then bang, the health research started to hover, and we embraced that. And I was a huge proponent of, we don't make a word until the doctors and those type of people say that it is. And that was hard to hold the group back, because they just wanted to, just say things. Blueberries are good for your eyes. Blueberries were good for you here.
We were right there this year, Denny. We were doing this.
Yeah,
history repeats itself.
It does, Casey. It does. You know, we're so fortunate in this business that we are actually the leaders in a health product. There are blueberries on boxes that don't even have blueberries in it. It's that symbol in our consumer. Trust us. That came through a lot of, no, we're not talking about this until the absolute positive research comes. And if that research takes 2 or 3 years, so be it. That's the way it's going to be. I'm glad we handled it that way.
That may be where your good practices technique comes into full circle, because, you know, that sort of discipline, that kind of understanding of holding horses, so to speak, in order to be prepared for what the next opportunity looks like, or to be able to respond to the circumstances that we're facing, that's just a good practice. And you guys have been working so many years to just continue to follow that practice. You know, we kind of laugh about this year, but, you know, you can't help it. You're in such an impressive position on the health halo and the health messaging, but it's still the discipline of the organization, obviously through USDA's oversight, that we hold horses. We make sure that what we say doesn't jeopardize the trust of the American people and the consumers around the world.
Stay with that, Casey.
Yeah.
Stay with it. I wasn't a favored grower for quite a long time when there was this heart healthy stuff and, oh, Japan, you know, well, if it's good for their eyes, it's got to be great for our eyes. And, you know, and there was times where we had to stand up, and in particular me, saying, no, not until it comes through like a New England Medical Journal or publications like that. When it's published, then sure. But even at that, I wanted to be very, very careful about how we positioned ourselves on the health and research. I mean, I wanted to move blueberries as much as anybody did. I'm a grower. But I knew this thing could spin completely out of control if you don't have that discipline. We need to have that discipline. It's worked for us. It really has.
Well, let's look forward. We talked about the beginning. We talked about sort of the middle here, inception of your sense of your farm, and then the role now of USHBC and what tools and opportunity and still exists. But, you know, what gets Denny Doyle out of bed every morning about this business? What's the optimism that drives you to continue to work in this business?
Well, it's in my blood. I started at 8 years old. So that's what drives me. I've been so blessed in that I was able to run along this tide and this wave. It's just so interesting. Again, it wasn't long ago where we had thought the world was coming to an end because we had 34 million pounds in a freezer. And, you know, oh my goodness, what were we going to do? How were we going to handle this? And it's just been so exciting. Just so many great, great people. And I think that vision is still there. I do, Case. I think our vision now has to really target towards our overseas consumers, you know, in whatever areas we can get. You know, I'm excited about the Asian theater. I think there's a lot of potential there. I enjoyed our conversation just the other day because I asked you the question, you know, the United States consumption rate. And it was really, really enlightening how you positioned that, in that our consumption rate right here in the United States certainly can increase. And we do have a history on consumption rate. We grew this business to the largest consumption rate in a period of 5 years than any other commodity ever grown. Okay, so that's pretty exciting, right? I mean, you're up against the lettuce, you're up against the bananas, you're up against the strawberries, you know, raspberries and all that. And we really focused down on that. And kind of proud of that. That's pretty neat.
It's come so far so fast. And I think, you know, this spring we talked.
That's the difference.
Yeah. And yet you look at that, and that you and I were talking about usage and attitude study that we recently did, where we can see the household penetration rate being, you know, really 40 points away from where strawberries is today. And so 38% and strawberries is north of 70%. And the question just becomes like, okay, so next evolution of the wave, like how do we do that? And I think what we talked about in the spring was how do we do that and not just chase down price? How do you become the berry category leader? And I think that's where there's just a lot of runway left. I talked last week with a couple of growers about just the vanishing point for this industry, that it's still so far out there. I mean, look at what happened to us in food service during COVID, right? We moved it all into retail channel. That says a lot about the fact that there's a lot of room left in food service alone, just that channel by itself. Once we can start to really start to push a lot of fruit back into that channel and then grow that channel, that vanishing point, Denny, that's what gets me excited for you and for the growers, that there's still this runway of opportunity internationally, but also domestically.
You know, for years, you know, Casey only had 1 year of me, and you probably heard me several times when we were meeting in our meetings, you know, we have to focus on our food service, on our frozen division, on our frozen side. And I've been fighting this for 5 or 6 years to the point of where some of the people on the promotion committee, they hold their head and say, oh, here he goes again. But that's the truth. You know, I go into the promotion committee and there's several of them, Brian Bocock and a couple. Now, don't go off on this frozen stuff. But I see that as a vision. Obviously, do we do things with frozen? Sure, we do. We obviously do. But I just see that frozen side of this to be so much more product development, so much more expansion, not to leave the fresh whatsoever. We need to get that awareness out, and we have professional people that can drive that fresh, and they really know this business. But I kept screaming and hollering, give me those same kind of professional visionaries on the frozen side of fruit. In my mind, on the short term of a long term vision, it's that, if that makes any sense. When I'm at the promotion committee meeting, and I probably shouldn't be telling you all this, Casey, because now you're really going to be watching me. When we're really pushing on the fresh side and we're going into the social media here and we're going in the supermarket here and we're checking people and we're doing all those things, you know, I just kind of sit there and sometimes my eyes glaze over because it's very, very computer orientated today, that whole business, right? I mean, this whole social media thing. And that's great. And that's wonderful. We got to be there. I want to be there even farther. But you watch me, if I bring up frozen and what are we doing and what new product development, that's when I start to get excited. I really do. It's like, show me something new.
Well, you're not wrong. And I think, you know, to the extent that you've already seen some of our program work start to pivot to
absolutely up. Yes.
Yeah. Deal with what is that opportunity. You know, the chefs and the operators, they like that shelf stable. I mean, I got to hear it with Bob Carini and I were out in Colorado together meeting with some of the chefs. And, you know, even in that short time, I got schooled on how that business works, what they're looking for, because it's about the customer in that way. So if this is just these chefs and operators, it was fascinating to me just to see how different their minds worked in what they were looking for from blueberries. The other thing I've learned since then, Denny, is that we've got this great group of folks who sell blueberries to our food manufacturers and our operators that do know this business. And we're continuing to find ways and to build off of the foundation that has already been put in place for food service. But just, I think even the folks I've talked to understand that we're just kind of getting started in food service. And that's not to...
I believe we are. And we're just getting started in food service. I've got that vision, Case. You asked early on, where do you think this is going? Now, you know, it's a little bit more funneled than where I was back in the 70s and 80s because I was grabbing the very broad, broad picture of how we could gather and get things together and do this thing as a unit. The younger guys, you being one of them, President Casey, will take that. I'm going to be in this on the sidelines now, funneling down. I'm getting older. And funneling down on what new product development have we created? What new Slurpee is out there? And I just see that happening. I just do. That's where I am.
I continue to be inspired by the work you do, working with obviously the leadership capacity. And again, I just want to thank you for sitting down with me. You know, I think you and I could probably continue this conversation with what we both agree is a number of ways and opportunities and continue to cast that vision that's yet ahead for the business of blueberries. So I really appreciate you joining us today, Denny.
Oh, man, it was a pleasure. It was really good. I love talking about it. And, you know, go frozen.
Go frozen. Go frozen.
Go frozen.
Any final thoughts before we let you go?
No, this was really nice, Case. Hang in there. You're doing a great job. It was a great pleasure. Thank you very, very much. Thank you again for the invite. Great job on all the things you do.
You know, just looking back at this conversation with Denny today, I think takeaways for me is just appreciating how Denny comes at the blueberry business and how relationships have made such a significant difference over time. You know, even starting with the outside of USHBC, you know, the conversations coast to coast between growers and just how, you know, that those relationships really ended up making a significant difference in how the organization was formed, its vision for it initially, and what it's become over all these years. And just that tied to that piece was just when the health research made its impact. And I think he talked again about the ability for the organization and the industry to have already been in the position to do something with that. And a lot of industries don't have that opportunity. The other quote that I take away from Denny, I actually wrote this down, is the idea that if you do nothing at all, that's worse than doing something wrong. And I've heard that said in different ways in my career. And I just couldn't agree more that it's an important thing to be able to see the vision. You may not have all the pieces figured out. You may not even have a business plan, but if you do nothing, you'll never realize the top of that mountain. And I think that's where Denny has seen the opportunity for this business. It's a high peak. There's still a lot of opportunity out there, but if we do nothing, we're never going to reach that peak. And that's where I think advice from someone like him on something like that goes a long way in thinking through what's next for the business of blueberries. So the other part that I really appreciated about the discipline that is involved with what the research and promotion programs provide for industries like blueberries is just that it requires a standard of communication that you better be having science on your side or you better not be saying that, just to protect what has become a significant health halo for our industry. So it leaves me with the understanding that there is a tremendous foundation for us to build that next blue wave on, thanks to leaders like Denny. So that's it for episode 16. If you found this insightful, please share this link with a friend or on social media to help us spread the word. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more innovation, collaboration, family, and hard work right here on the Business of Blueberries.